That's right, everyone. We are back. Packers in law. I'm Andy. Jake, today, Brett Hundley was traded away from the Packers. Is this A, the best thing that happened to the Packers today? B, the best thing that's happened to the Packers all year? C, the best thing that has happened in the last 10 years? Or D, the best thing that has ever happened in the history of the Packer organization?
I'm going to say none of the above.
Not an option. The correct answer was B, the best thing that has happened to the Packers all year. I'm Andy, the Packer noob.
And I'm Jake, the Packer veteran. Hey, folks, how's it going? I know we've been away for a very long time. It's been a little busy over here at Packers and Law HQ. A lot of stuff going on, but don't worry, we're not dead, at least not yet. And
we still don't like Brett Hundley. Me more than Jake.
The first news item we had today, getting right into current news, we'll talk about draft picks because I know we haven't talked about that yet. But starting with the current news, two major things happened today. First of all, Packers did trade Brett Hundley to Seattle for a sixth rounder in next year's draft. That would be, of course, 2019.
The Wicked Witch is dead. I feel slightly bad because he seems like a nice guy. He's from UCLA. I'm from LA. But, like, last year he just did not cut it.
I think he would tell you that himself. You know, he did look better this preseason.
He always looked good in preseason.
That's true. That is the thing. I mean, everyone always said, like, oh, we got to trade him now so we can get a first-round draft pick, and now we traded him for a sixth-rounder because, yeah, he was pretty bad last year. Also, Andy, not the first time in the history of the Packers they've traded a backup quarterback to Seattle. They traded Matt Hasselbeck many a year ago to the Seahawks, who went on to lead them to a Super Bowl appearance that they, of course, lost to Pittsburgh. So, and, of course, that was former Packer head coach Mike Holmgren, who I think was there when Hasselbeck was a rookie in Green Bay. You know, knew what he had there, so he signed him and made him successful. I don't think...
It's not going to happen again.
I don't think Brent Hundley's going to go and unseat Russell Wilson anytime soon unless he suffers a catastrophic injury, knock on wood for all you Seahawks fans. Yeah, I think maybe a fresh start is probably what he needed. I think it was good for the Packers to move out. Even though Hundley looked better than Kaiser in the preseason, Kaiser is younger and probably has more physical tools than Hundley does. Even if they both looked about the same, and Kaiser definitely did not look that great last year. Granted, he was a rookie playing on the worst team in the league. So
all other things being equal, and I'm going to set aside my Hundley hate for a moment, I think this is better for all parties. Hundley, as a quarterback type, I think fits better backing up Russell Wilson. They sort of have similar playing styles, and the offenses are built around similar skills that both of those quarterbacks have. So I think that's better for them. Obviously, the Packers get something in return, not much, but something, a sixth rounder. In 2019. And also, I think, like you just said, as we found out last season, if Aaron goes down, we're not going to have a great year anyway. We're not going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that. So you might as well have the younger guy who has more potential, like Kaiser does, in there. And this gives a chance to, what was the name of the fourth string, now third string?
Tim Boyle,
who I know people were generally impressed by preseason. He'll actually probably make the roster now. So a lot of, I think, good overall in this trade.
Right, and to go off the Tim Boyle point, so he was the fourth quarterback, didn't play at all in the third preseason game against Oakland last week. Mark McCarthy has said that he should get most of the work tomorrow. We are recording this on Wednesday, late afternoon. Tomorrow night, Thursday, August 30th, in the last preseason game against Kansas City. The rumor is that they will keep him on the roster. Which is, I remember back in the 90s when I first started paying attention to football, it seemed like every team just had three quarterbacks because that's what you did. But surprisingly, it's increasingly rare now. Most teams only keep two, and then they keep a guy in their practice squad just in case. But it looks like the Packers will, in fact, keep three quarterbacks. And the reason for that, Andy, some people are positing, is what happened last year with quarterback Taysom Hill, who is now with New Orleans. The Packers wanted to keep him, didn't want to keep him on the roster, so they actually... he was a final camp cut, and then they put him on waivers, hoping that he would clear waivers so they could put him on their practice squad. But the Saints, went in and picked him up, so they weren't able to do that. So some people think that they're not going to let that happen again because they actually really liked what Tim Boyle has as far as tools, and they don't want him to be poached by somebody else. So that could be a possible reason why they're doing that. But in any case...
Speaking of the Saints, by the way, and poaching a quarterback, did you hear also Teddy Bridgewater was traded to the Saints today?
I did hear that, yes.
That seems so weird to me.
I think it was probably coming. I mean, all the things that I read said that Sam Darnold looked like the best guy in training camp and in preseason. So, I mean, if he looks like the best guy, why not play the best guy,
But, have a solid backup and, I don't
know. Well, yeah, but they still have Josh McCown, who, is...
Josh McCown, Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, you're not looking for a Hall of Famer as your backup quarterback. That's what you mean. You're just looking for a guy who, you know, right the ship and play if, you know, if things go wrong. But anyway, Hundley is now in Seattle. Wish him well. The Lions now playing against us. And but let's, Andy, let's get to the biggest news today.
Here's the meat.
So Aaron Rodgers, working on a contract extension with the Packers for seemingly a many number of months now.
And it seemed like it wasn't going to get done before the season.
Yeah, there was a point where it kind of was like, well, at this point, maybe let's wait till the end of the season. They don't want to have a distraction, have like contract negotiations going on through the regular season. Don't want that hanging over everybody's head. But it has happened today. Multiple people, actually, I think the first person who reported it was actually NFL Network's James Jones, who, of course, was a Packer receiver drafted by Green Bay, played with Rodgers for his entire career.
Really? That was before Schefter? I thought Schefter had it first.
I don't know. It was close. And actually, James Jones was drafted when Favre was still there, so he didn't play his entire career as Rodgers. But anyway, James Jones reported that, and Adam Schefter, that Rodgers had signed a four-year, $134 million extension.
Money.
Yes, lots of money going out. It's actually only $30 million in new money. But it did come with a $57.5 million signing bonus, which is the biggest ever in NFL history. This also makes Rodgers the highest paid player in the league in history. And apparently, by March 2019, he will have received $80 million of that money when you factor in his salary for this season and the signing bonus. And there's also incentives, you know, if he produces enough touchdowns or so on and so forth, he can get more money.
That's a crazy amount of front-loaded contract.
It is.
That's awesome.
And there's over $100 million guaranteed in there. Obviously, you know, Kirk Cousins signed that fully guaranteed deal with the Vikings for 3 years and $84 million. This obviously displaces that now. So,
prepare yourself for the memes of how much, like, money Aaron Rodgers in the next 7 months makes, like, every second or, like, every hour or, like, every game. Those are always fun. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be insane with that amount of money that he's going to make by March.
Yes. Well, I remember when I was, this was about 7 years ago, when I was working at a job I had in Eden Prairie, ESPN had this little thing you could put numbers into that would tell you how long it took professional athletes to make your yearly salary. So I put in my yearly salary, and it turns out that at the time, LeBron James, every time he scored 4 points in another season basketball game, made my yearly salary, which was, of course, very depressing. And his salary back then, I mean, it was pretty big, but it wasn't, I don't think it was this big. So I'm sure Rodgers makes most people zero salaries in like 5 minutes playing an NFL game or something.
Side note, this Laker fan is very happy that you mentioned Los Angeles Laker, LeBron James.
That's right. LeBron is in LA, but.
Well, the audio waves on our recording just went way off the chart.
They did.
I'm so excited. Can this be a Laker podcast?
Over
under fourth place Western Conference for the Lakers this year. I'm obviously going over. I'm going to say second. Houston grabs first. Kuzma is going to take the next step. A lot of these young players are really going to.
You think the Lakers are going to unseat Golden State? You are nuts.
Golden State doesn't care about the regular season anymore. They set the record. They're probably going to get some injuries. They're probably going to sit their guys some rest. They're going to get like third or fourth. And I'm not saying they're not going to go to the finals. But I'm saying LeBron is going to make a big difference, and the Lakers have a huge amount of potential. If those youngsters are pushed by LeBron, which I think they will, I think it's really going to be a special year.
I'm saying they finish fifth or sixth, which is still a vast improvement over where they were the last, like, what, 2, 3, 4 years?
Well, yeah, they didn't make the playoffs.
They're going to make the also they'll make the playoffs. Anyway.
What's the lowest LeBron James has ever been seeded in the playoffs ever?
I think
Fourth? You think four? Did he ever make five?
Four or five? Fans, if you know,
one out there cares.
If you haven't turned us off at this point, let us know how low LeBron James has been seeing in the playoffs. Anyway.
Go Lakers.
So Rodgers gets a ton of money. The article on NFL.com actually had a kind of an interesting stat. It said that obviously I think some people, especially people who don't care about football, will look at this and be like, well, that's obviously not worth it. That's a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. But they had a stat saying that since 2008, since Rodgers' first season as the full-time starter, the Packers are 94-46 and average 27.7 points per game when he starts, when he plays in the game. But they are 6-13-1 and average 20.2 points per game when he does not play. So obviously, you know, they average almost a whole or more than a full touchdown per game when he's playing. Obviously, they've won way more games with him than without him. So he's an important guy. And like I said, most people would consider him to be, even at his age of 34, the best quarterback, at least talent-wise, in the game.
Yeah, and business-wise, like that record, like winning means more money advertising, means more jersey sales, means more exposure. You know, they can sell their commercial at higher, they can sell their TV rights at higher price. Like, the money aspect, as in all, you know, sports business, goes far beyond, you know, just what they do on the field, but what they do on the field bleeds into everything around them. And Aaron Rodgers is second biggest star in the NFL. Tom Brady.
Yeah, him. I think that's fair. I mean, even as much as it might hurt me to say that, I think that's probably fair at this point. Obviously, Brady with the 5 Super Bowls and, you know, the supermodel wife and all this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it is a lot of money, but I think it's worth it.
Absolutely.
And actually, speaking of someone else who thinks it's worth it, we have a special guest who would like to share some brief words.
I can't believe we got him. It's crazy.
Yeah, so let's just roll the clip here of our guest today.
Aaron Rodgers, that bad man that he is. 4 years, $134 million, basically. They're talking about the deal is $176 to $180 million, but they're talking about how he's going to get about $76 million before St. Patrick's Day, something along those lines. Another $80 million within the calendar year. In the end, you're talking about $103 million guaranteed before he has an opportunity to pass gas. And I got news for y'all, damn it. It still ain't enough. You know why? Did you include a chauffeur? Did you include a massage therapist, a masseuse, you know, somebody to do it, give him pedicures and manicures every day.
Wow. Stephen A. Smith, just the aura of knowledge and experience just radiated as he came into our studio. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. We'll be in touch.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith has left now.
So those were the two biggest things that happened today in Packerland.
Can I talk? I'm curious, because I saw our friends over at Pack to the Future. They had a series of tweets where they were comparing Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, really? I did not see this.
It's a good series of tweets. Check it out. They went through this, and when you go through just the stats of Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, you do see that Aaron Rodgers, his stats are better. He has more touchdowns. His touchdown to interception ratio is better. Completion percentage is better, et cetera. All these different stats they went through. Of course, you know, the big stat difference are the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady has 5? Does he have 6 now?
5.
Aaron only has the 1. And they were presenting this as, like, the ultimate proof that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady, which could be true. We can talk about that. I more looked at those series of tweets and stats and just, like, mourned the fact that the Packer organization has failed to do more with a quarterback of this stature in the time that he has been at our club. I don't know. When I saw that, I was not overjoyed and proud of, like, Aaron Rodgers' greatness, although I am. I was more sad that his greatness hasn't bled over to the Super Bowl count of a Tom Brady, and I think that's because of a lot of our defensive issues, and I think it begs a question. Obviously, Tom Brady has one of the best NFL coaches of all time, and Aaron Rodgers did not. I don't know exactly where I'm going with this, but when I saw those series of tweets, I thought it'd be worth talking about the fact that we only have one Super Bowl with potentially the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, well, this is a discussion I think that's kind of been happening for a lot. Like, at the end of last season when you asked me if I thought Don Capers was coming back, I said, well, Aaron Rodgers is 34. There needs to be a sense of urgency. No, he shouldn't come back, and now he has. But no, he didn't. By the way, new defensive coordinator's name was actually Mike Pettine. It is not Mike Pettine. That's what I said in our last episode. It's apparently Mike Pettine.
But Pettine sounds so sophisticated.
It does. Apparently it's a French thing. I don't know. It's Mike Pettine. Pettine. Anyway.
Pettine. I'm going to call him that the rest of the year. Mike Pettine.
Yeah, and it is a thing of, you know, it's not like the Patriots have done. I know the Packers for a long time, and still with our new GM, you know, we're still kind of not exactly throwing the kitchen sink at free agency like maybe some people might hope we are.
Right, but the Patriots don't do that, like you were saying.
Right,
like, the Patriots don't do that. The difference is not spending. Either.
Right.
It's not a Yankees, like, you know, Marlins situation.
Well, and the Patriots just have this thing where they find players who appear to have washed out of other people's programs or teams, and they sort of take what's available and cobble together, you know, a scheme that works for everybody. And I don't know if that's where it comes down to it, where maybe the Packers trying to make their, you know, make the players fit their scheme, whereas I feel like the Patriots very clearly make a scheme that fits the players they have.
To me, that just means Patriots have a great front office and great coaching. Like, we can say stuff like system versus getting players to fit, but it's not, it seems to me that that is just like a front office getting the right players, listening to their coach, and getting deals and striking on good draft choices, and then the coaches having the players they have, coaching them up, and making a system that works. Like, that to me is good coaching and good front office-ing. And I guess I'm sad that the Packers have not had that same level of success in those areas when our quarterback play has been so high.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. You know, I would say for the most part, I think that the GMing and coaching, as you said, have been pretty good. Obviously not Patriots level good, which is kind of where the, you know, why the discussion exists. But yeah, hopefully now that we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere until at least 2022, I think, or 2024, you know, maybe we can work on improving that. Maybe with, you know, I mean, Brian Gutekunst did make some big free agent signings this year. You know, maybe Mike McCarthy will, you know, have a, you know, new passion to coach the guys up or what have you. So we'll just have to see. And, you know, I think the new defense has got some nice young pieces, which we'll talk about in a minute here. So hopefully they can improve, and hopefully they're, you know, with a new coordinator, they're more motivated because they're having to learn a new system, and they'll be, you know, ready to get after it. And hopefully we can see a defense the likes of which we haven't seen since probably 2010, when the Packers defense was top five in the league.
And all signs point to that. Maybe not top five in the league, but that a much improved defense.
Well, let's hope so.
And we'll talk about that a lot. Next week, by the way, everyone, we didn't say that. Next week is going to be our full season preview, where we go through each game, where we think they'll finish, who we think is going to win the Super Bowl, all that stuff will be next week. So if you're listening for that, turn us on next week as well. Keep listening to the end of this episode. That'll be next week.
Yeah, we'll do our season predictions and all that fun stuff. Real quick, since I know it's August and this is now old news by the internet standards, but let's quickly run through the draft since our last episode was before the draft. So obviously the Packers had quite a number of draft picks. So again, top pick, Jaire Alexander, a cornerback from Louisville at number 18 overall. Interesting thing about that, so the Packers start with the 14th pick, traded back to 27th with New Orleans because New Orleans already wanted Marcus Davenport, who was an edge rusher. They gave us a fifth rounder and a first rounder next year. So I think that was a great move to get, you know, had another first round draft pick for next year. Then we trade up with Seattle back to 18. Did not give up that first round pick we just got, but we had to give up, I think it was a third, a fifth, and a sixth this year, which to me, that's no big deal. So we drafted Jaire Alexander. Then we followed that up with Josh Jackson, who's another cornerback from Iowa. Then the third round, Oren Burks, inside linebacker from Vanderbilt. And then we had the first of the three receivers we drafted, Jamon Moore, wide receiver from Missouri. Then the fifth round, again, like I said, three draft picks, Cole Madison, a tackle from Washington State, J.K. Scott, a punter, which you don't see very often, from Alabama, and then Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a wide receiver from South Florida.
That's a great name.
It is a great name. We got a lot of great names on this
MVS.
Team. Then we, in the sixth round, we took another receiver, Equanimeous St. Brown.
Whoa, you got that on the first try. That was very good.
I was a little nervous about that one. From wide receiver from Notre Dame, who played with Kaiser at Notre Dame. Little side note there. And then in the seventh round, another three picks, James Looney, defensive end from California, Hunter Bradley, a long snapper from Mississippi State. Very rare to see a long snapper drafted even in the seventh round. And then finally, Kendall Donerson, a defensive end from Southeastern Missouri State, at pick 248.
Do you think Hunter Bradley brags about that at the bar? Like, yeah, I'm the best long snapper in the country.
Well, I think there actually was another long snapper who was drafted.
Oh, man, not even second best.
Yeah, not even second
Sorry,
best.
Hunter.
But
That'll play in Green Bay, though.
What's
It'll
that?
Be okay. It'll play in Green Bay.
Well, sure. If he hangs around, which we'll talk about in a minute. But looking at the draft as a whole, I do like that we reloaded the cornerback position. Obviously, that was very important after all the injuries we've had.
Where, as a Packer noob, where are they on the depth chart, Alexander and Jackson?
I think at this point, the starters are going to be Kevin King and Tremont Williams, who we also re-signed. We talked about that last time. I think they're basically like corners 3 and 4 or 5, depending on where Devon House fits in. I mean, they're definitely going to make the team.
Right. And that means they'll be starting for the Packers by week 4 when we get hit by injuries.
Well, probably, yeah. But yeah, both of us...
That was me knocking on wood. That
actually,
weird sound.
Jaire Alexander didn't play much with a hamstring injury, but he actually had an interception against Oakland. Josh Jackson had a pick 6 against Pittsburgh, almost had another one, or he did have another one against Oakland that was called back due to penalty.
Oh, I didn't know that was him.
But they looked pretty impressive, or especially Josh Jackson's looked pretty impressive.
If one of those is a massive hit, that's huge for the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
They just need one of those to pan out as like a really, really solid cornerback, and that'll do so much for our defense.
Right. Just having even, and then you combine that with Kevin King, who I think has the potential to also be a home run. He saw a lot of injuries.
He looked real good at points last year. He had some major mistakes, but of course, all rookies do.
Right.
But he looked. I agree with you. I'm very optimistic on him.
Right. So yeah, those if King and even one of those two guys, hopefully both of them become good players, I think we'll be good. So Oren Burks actually got pressed into starting duty due to the unfortunate injury to Jake Ryan. I guess that's something that did happen in our little break there.
Ryan out for the year.
Out for the year. Torn ACL. Will not be playing for the Packers this season. So they put Oren Burks in his place. He's looked really good in the preseason. Did injure his shoulder in pregame warmups, which is kind of odd, against Oakland. He has shown pretty good ability. Like he's shown a knack for shooting through the gap on running plays. He can cover pretty well in the nickel package, or you know, seems like he's pretty good at covering tight ends. Because he was a safety in college, is I think the story about him. So he's got that range, that athleticism.
It's great to see the Packers going first three picks defense.
Right.
Also, maybe talk about this a little bit. It seems like a clear shift in ideology. They seem at least to be drafting very clearly for need rather than best player available.
This whole need versus best player available thing is kind of fungible. It's like, you know, the Packers have their own draft board. You know, maybe Jair Alexander was the best guy on their board, and who knows how much need plays into that. I think they're probably still following the best player available thing, but again, it's all based on their draft board, which no one outside of their war room is ever going to see, so we don't know. But yeah, I mean, it would appear from an outsider perspective to be like, well, they're drafting two cornerbacks and a linebacker. You know, they need those players, so it looks like they're drafting for need, but maybe those were the best three players on their board, maybe each one of those guys was the best player on their board at the time they drafted. So I don't really know. It is what it is. Jamon Moore in the fourth round didn't really do much in the preseason, had a couple notable drops. Of course, there was also the comment that the media latched onto on this when Rodgers was running the scout team before the first preseason game, where he said that the effort of the scout team was piss poor, to use his words exactly.
Goodness.
And he was mostly referring to the three rookie receivers, Jamon Moore, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. But Jamon Moore actually did have a solid showing, I would say, against Oakland. There's some questions about whether or not, you know, which receivers are going to make the team. There's kind of a battle going for not many spots. Some people think the Packers are going to keep seven receivers this year. They did that in 2016. They only kept six last season. And there's also guys like Jake Kumerow, who's had a great preseason, but is also, you know, not a draft pick. He's 26 years old. But he has produced the most, but he also has an injured shoulder, so it's kind of tough to say what's going to happen to him. I mean, I would be shocked if Jamon Moore didn't make the team, I mean, because he's a fourth-round pick. Now, granted, last year the Packers drafted a receiver in the fifth and seventh round, and neither of those guys made the team out of camp, so who knows?
So let's bunch these wide receivers and talk about depth chart for a second, because this will help me. Obviously, I don't know the details of these guys as much as you obviously do. So we obviously got our first two in Cobb and Adams. Those are our first two options. After that, how does the wide receiver picture shape up right now if you're McCarthy?
Yeah, so Adams and Cobb are the one in the...
Is Cobb in the slot, you think? Or is he outside?
I mean, he can play both. He's definitely the number two guy behind Adams, because when he was the number one guy in 2015, he did not pan out like he probably should have. And then Jerome Allison is definitely the number three, they've said. He's definitely a lock. And then after that, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, Trevor Davis, who was a very good return man for us last year, he hasn't played at all thanks to a hamstring injury. He's supposed to play tomorrow night. He'll have to get in there and make something happen real quick if he wants to make his case for why he should still be on the team. Other than that, again, I would be surprised if the three draft picks didn't make it.
So that does make seven, right?
Yeah, so I mean, if you have Adams, Cobb, and Allison, those are the three locks. And then you have the three rookies, and then we'll say Trevor Davis. That's seven. So I think that's probably what they'll end up going with. Again, who knows? I remember a couple years ago when the Packers cut Josh Sitton and no one thought they were going to do that. So it remains to be seen. Cutdown day is Saturday. Again, we're recording this Wednesday afternoon. So cutdown day is Saturday. That's when they have to trim the roster down to 53 people. So we wait with bated breath.
We'll talk about that on our season preview, of course.
Oh, yeah. We'll go over that next week as well.
Punter, Jake Scott.
Cole Madison.
That's
actually an interesting case because Cole Madison, again, a tackle, which our backup tackles have not looked very good in the preseason, so it was nice that we drafted a tackle there. He hasn't been with the team for a long time, and it's because of a personal issue, and the Packers have said that he's, you know, it's all been excused. Like, it's not like he's MIA, but they said there's no timetable for his return.
So it's not a discipline thing at all.
No, at least that's not what they've said publicly. They've said that it's a personal issue and that there's no timetable for when he'll be back. So who knows if or when he'll play this year. And, you know, like I said, because of the state of the backup tackles in Green Bay, it would be nice to have another person out there with potential like him. But, you know, whatever he's going through, I guess we just have to let him sort that out.
Yeah, wish him the best. Hopefully it's not like a family tragedy or anything. We just don't know.
So right.
Wish him the best, and hopefully he can get back soon.
Yeah, no one knows. So the punter, J.K. Scott, guy from Alabama. After Justin Vogel actually set the record for net yardage in a season for the Packers, they cut him. And, well, actually, they signed J.K. Scott to have a little competition. And then they released Vogel, I think, even before training camp started. Or maybe it was like a week into training camp. It was pretty soon into that.
If you had to guess, do you think you wanted more money and they just thought cheaper option to go with a rookie?
I don't know. I don't think that was it at all. I think it was just, you know, he was, again, it comes down to draft pick versus undrafted guy. You know, J.K. Scott is younger than Justin Vogel. Which is sort of funny because Justin Vogel ended up in Cleveland, which is where a lot of former Packer front office people work now.
And like punters, age is not as big a thing, right?
Age is not as big a thing. But I think they just think this guy's a bigger leg. Now he, in training camp, he was having big practices. He was kicking like 50-yard punts with like 5 seconds of hang time, which is pretty incredible. The first two games did not go particularly well for him. Definitely a much better showing against the Raiders last week.
It was hilarious he didn't do... you mentioned this to me in the first two preseason games, that like someone said, like, yeah, the pressure's really getting to him playing in the NFL, you know, even in the preseason. And then you mentioned, like, Alabama's stadium holds more people than Lambeau.
Yes, it does. So
it's not like he's scared of big crowds.
Right, it shouldn't be that he's scared of, like, the moment or, like, having tons of people watching him because he played in a bigger stadium in college, so...
You can't get in a bigger atmosphere of football than Alabama football.
Right.
Like, that is basically the NFL.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like playing an NFL game every week, so... but yeah, I mean, he definitely has the tools to be good, and he's a rookie, so I would expect some growing pains, but I think he'll be fine. We just have to, you know, we can't freak out if he kicks like a 30-yard punt, and we're all like, oh, why don't we keep Vogel, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, just pump the brakes.
Jake reads all of your tweets in.
Yes, all your many tweets, that's the voice I read it in. And then we get to the 7th round, which is sort of interesting. Because based on, now obviously there's a lot of people projecting the final rosters for teams this week. So far, I've read about 4 of them for the Packers, including one on Pack to the Future, that you can go check out at packtothefuture.com. And nobody has any of these 3 guys actually making the team, at least not on the roster. Maybe one or two will be on the practice squad. But so James Looney, more of a run defender, defensive end. You know, he hasn't really flashed in training camp or preseason, so he's not expected to make it. Hunter Bradley, the long snapper. Apparently the Packers have a guy in camp named Zach Triner. I don't know how to pronounce his name. But apparently he's the expected guy who's going to be the long snapper for the season, so Hunter Bradley's not expected to make it. And then Kendall Donerson, who actually is the one edge rusher the Packers drafted this year, despite the fact that that's a pretty big need for our team. He's very raw. He has very good physical skills. He's fast. He's long. He sounds like a practice squad guy. I don't think he's going to make the roster out of camp because, again, he hasn't really, like, made any impact plays or anything. So, really, none of these guys from the 7th round are probably going to make it. And I guess, you know, that's – even for the Packers, that's not exactly uncommon because, again, you're just kind of taking flyers on guys in the later rounds, especially when you have 3 7th round draft picks.
Are you at all upset by that, that not one of these 3 flyers that the front office took were worth taking, apparently?
No, I mean, it's, again, you're taking flyers and seeing if they pan out, and if they don't pan out, well, don't keep them on your roster just because they were a draft pick, you know, or...
I guess I agree with that. I just more so, like, you'd wish the front office would hit on one of these 3 guys. I mean, like, think about, like, at the trade we just did, Hundley is worth a sixth rounder. So this is just one round later. I know that is later, but not any of these guys was worth at least keeping on a roster.
Well, like I said, I think Kyle Donaldson is going to be on the practice squad, and he might become something later. Apparently, he's very raw. He just needs time. He just needs to like be on the practice squad so he can get work in. Sure, there's cases where, I mean, Donald Driver was a seventh round pick back in the day, and you know, obviously he turned out pretty good. Of course you want to see one or two of these guys make the roster just because you use the draft pick on them, but sometimes that's not the case. So I'm not terribly upset about it. So kind of the overall draft picture for me, like I said, I like the replenishing of the secondary. I like the trying to get younger at wide receiver. I like the pick of Oren Burks, even though I didn't think we needed him at the time, which turns out we do because Jake Ryan got hurt. The thing that I don't like is that for the second year in a row, the Packers had a chance to draft an impact pass rusher and traded back and then took a cornerback. Now, again, I like the pick of cornerbacks. You can never have too many in today's pass-happy NFL, but you also need somebody to rush the passer. Obviously, we still have Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, and actually Reggie Gilbert, who's had a really great preseason, will be the third guy. But it would be nice to see, it would be nice to see the Packers have somebody like Clay Matthews in his prime, like a Von Miller, like a Khalil Mack, who I know was rumored to be traded to Green Bay, but it looks like that's not going to happen.
Is there any whispers anymore of that? It was really strong last week or a couple weeks ago.
But. Yeah, it was really strong a couple weeks ago, but that's all died down. Apparently, it's not happening.
That's a move I would have loved them to make.
It would be nice to see just like a true, like fearsome edge rusher. Like I said, like Clay Matthews when he was in his prime.
Give up some picks, man. We got
to
win now.
Just to see, what that would be like. But so that's, yeah. I mean, again, I do like the players they picked, but I still wish that somewhere in there, maybe in the fourth or fifth round, we use one of those three fifth round picks on a edge rusher. But again, it is what it is. So.
What's the grade a letter grade that you would give for the Packers on this draft? Obviously, it's like impossible to do that because none of them have played real minutes yet. But a couple months out, your grade would be?
Like you said, it's basically impossible. I'll give them a B for now. I think most of the guys have showed well, obviously, with the exception of the seventh round. The receivers, I think there's a lot of talent there, even if they haven't necessarily showed it that much yet. Probably the guy who's had the best preseason is probably Valdez-Scantling. But Jamon Moore did have a nice bounce-back game against Oakland. Again, Oren Burks has looked good. Josh Jackson's looked good. Jair Alexander hasn't played much, but when he has, he's looked pretty good. J.K. Scott had a better game. So, yeah, I give him a B for now. Obviously, this, we'll get a clear picture of that as the season goes on. But, good draft. Also really good by Gutekunst to get that first-round pick for next year. Could possibly use that as part of trade bait. That was actually being discussed when they were talking about potentially getting Khalil Mack. But yeah, for his first draft, I think Gutekunst and his staff did a pretty good job. So we'll just have to wait and see how that projects.
Excellent. Well, this week, Thursday, of course, is the last preseason game.
Tomorrow.
It's Wednesday. So tomorrow, last preseason game. So who knows when you're listening to this podcast. Might already be done. Saturday is the final roster is due to the league. So we'll know who's cut and who actually makes it. And if any of those seventh rounders slip in, we don't think so. And hopefully next week we will get out to our full season preview. You can follow us at Packers in Law
on both Twitter and Facebook. Also check out our parents or our mothership, website, packtothefuture.com. That's where you can find every past, present, and future episode of Packers in Law, along with other.
You can listen to all of my Brett Hundley hate from last season. I don't know why you would, but you can.
If you really want to, you can. There's also other podcasts on there. There's video breakdowns. There's articles. There's all kinds of stuff on
there. Those video breakdowns are great. If you haven't checked them out, check them out.
Go check it all out. Again, packtothefuture.com. That's where we're at. That's where other people are at. And yeah, we'll be back next week to do our season preview. And we will talk to you guys at that time.